Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's time for the Draft Dudes Podcast.
What's better than this?
Your hosts, the Draft Dudes themselves and co-founders of the Draft Network, Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino.
Guys being dudes
on the Draft Dudes Podcast. And it starts now.
This guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes Podcast. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs. We're your hosts. Chris Schubert's here floating around producing this thing. We're all from the Draft Network. We're brought to you by Bet Online, the number one spot for all your sports wagering information. They've got everything over there, guys. NFL, NHL, NBA, soccer, esports, you name it. You can find it over at Bet Online. Super easy to navigate website that's available on your desktop or your mobile device. They've got everything, contests, giveaways, sports podcasts, everything's over at Bet Online. We have a deal for you. Use our promo code BELEAVE, that's B-L-E-A-V. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. It's Bet Online, and it's where the game starts. Kyle, happy National Personal Space Day to you.
Let me ask you a question. What's on your screen right now? What are you looking at right now?
You.
Okay, so you, I was trying to violate your personal space in the lead in to the podcast because I had this cauliflower stuffed in my mouth, and Chris is dying,
right,
laughing, and I'm dying.
Guy didn't flinch.
I might as well have just been a ghost. You were staring straight through us, no emotional reaction. I was stunned.
He did do the Joe thing where he closed his eyes at one point to keep himself kind of centered in the read, but... He was a professional, unlike you and I.
I kept my eyes closed for a good 30% of that too.
Bravo! You have a partner and a sponsor for long enough, right? And you know the vibe. You know exactly what they want you to communicate to people who listen to this show. There's one company I could still do the 60-second ad read. I don't think we've had them for about a year and a half now.
Is it a colorful tablet?
No, it's not a colorful tablet. It's where you can buy automobile parts.
Oh, yeah. All right. No free ads here.
No free ads here. I ain't saying your name. I don't think so. But happy National Personal Space Day to you as well. Which quarterback's personal space in the pocket do you feel like was most infringed upon this past weekend?
Russell Wilson.
I thought that'd be a fun football tie-in, and it fell flat on its face. So we could go Russ Wilson. That's a good one. Kyle Allen's a good one.
Didn't want to take the low-hanging fruit.
Right. That's why I perked up on Russ Wilson too.
You don't have the answer. This is we're speculating.
No,
this
is, I this genuinely is Kyle. Was asking oh, you yeah. an arbitrary. Yeah. We talked Kyle about Kyle riffing
a bit. Yeah, this is Kyle riffing without having a plan, and this is what happens when he does that.
I didn't know if Joe, you had an answer.
No,
Chris,
I didn't.
Chris
so
gave
now you
an answer,
me,
and I gave an answer, and
I'm over here thinking just, all serious about it. You
just
know?
Say Matt Ryan, and we'll move on.
I was thinking about Matt Ryan after watching that last night. What a rough offense
Lord.
That is to watch. People are mad at Jeff Saturday about keeping those timeouts, man.
Well,
mad
you know. Guy goes on Get Up in the mornings 2 months ago and says, let's talk about clock management, and keeps three timeouts in his pocket with 40 seconds left at the end of the game in scoring range, and you need a touchdown. Like, yeah, I'd probably be a little upset if I was a Colts fan too. But, like, you know, the blissful ignorance of not never being a head coach before is...
Wasn't afraid.
Just say wasn't afraid to keep those timeouts and turn them in like they're our free nugget... vouchers when you go to the basketball game and they miss the two free throws. So you bring your ticket stub and go get free nuggets. It's using those timeouts for that.
Even if you thought you had like momentum or something, right? Like
you didn't. It was third and short on a Matt Ryan scramble, and
it's bad.
He wasn't afraid though. And then they come out and they run the ball on third down.
I know.
It's like the worst thing.
It took him like 26 seconds off the clock to not get a yard.
to run the ball on third and one in a 1 minute situation.
It's bad.
Incredible.
Check the tape, tier maker. I don't know why every week we show up to this recording and I live in fear that we have the same topic for check the
tape. I promise you we don't, because mine's on a player that I did.
I'll tell you. I asked Kyle on the pre-show. He wouldn't tell me. So
here's what's the mine is going to be unique, because it's not a player that I did and it's not a team that I watched this week. I did something extra for this segment. Yeah.
I my interest is piqued. If you'd like to lead us off into check.
Are we
going to be talking about Illinois running back Chase Brown?
Oh, okay.
Joe, are you going to make us do the thing that we did last week with Kyle and go through teams and?
No.
Yeah. Are we going to do a 30-minute bit here?
Yes. Yes. I'm glad we can laugh about that, because in the moment I'm like, oh, Kyle, really? We're going to be here for 2 hours.
But let's be fair. We got some feedback after the show.
Did we?
From some people that really liked that in the TDM Premium Discord. There were a handful of people that said, hey, we thought that was really enlightening and we really enjoyed doing that, even though it was a large lift.
A new segment called The Thing. Just
the thing. We're going to do the thing.
Doing the thing was fine. Not telling us ahead of the time that we wanted to do the thing was, I think, Joe and I's biggest problem.
Well, we did.
But that's
research
my thing.
Would have been nice.
Kyle
that's
had the thing lined up for three different cycles through the entire NFL. We had 90-something data plots to work. 96, 32 times 3. Did I do the math right correctly?
There's a part of it that's better if you don't prepackage that, and it's just like the spontaneous reaction.
Yeah, but we can't let you off the hook. You got to eat a little crow on that, you know? So. All right, I guess I'm going first, huh? Keeping it in the Big Ten, boys. I took some time this morning watching CJ Stroud against the Michigan Wolverines, and I want to talk about what I saw. So, what was the quote? CJ Stroud, I'm falling asleep last night scrolling Twitter. Isn't that what everybody does, or am I like unique in that, right? Maybe you guys have bedtime routines. I don't want to get into that. I want to get into CJ Stroud. Okay.
Let me bail you out for just a second.
Thank you.
I'll help you out here.
Thank you.
I used to do that, but now, like, my subconscious brain turns off my alarm if it's within reach of my body when it goes off in the morning, because I'm getting up in a more uncomfortable time than I normally do. So I have to put I have to make the conscious decision to put the phone out of arm's reach when I go to bed.
Oh, really?
So I can no longer just sit there and lay with my head on the side of the pillow and just sit here and scroll for 10 minutes like I normally did.
Man, my wake up routine is now I wake up and I hope that it's like 1 in the morning, but I wake up every morning and it's 4:59. Every day.
Now, are you hoping it's 1 in the morning so you can get up and go? Or
no,
are you
so
just
go
hoping
back
it's that time so you can go back to sleep?
So got I can it. Take a piss got and it, go back it. To sleep. But no, it's 4:59. It's like, all right, time, it's go time, baby. Anyway, CJ Stroud, there was a quote that I was reading last night that was something along the lines of, I'm going to be remembered as a guy that couldn't beat Michigan, right? Got news for you, folks. The Ohio State Buckeyes couldn't beat Michigan. This isn't a loss that I put squarely on CJ Stroud. And I want to kind of talk about that. First of all, the reason that the Ohio State Buckeyes lost to Michigan is because they gave up touchdown plays, not drives, plays of 69, 75, 75, and 85 yards. Four explosive touchdowns that were literally 69 yards or more. One play, 28 points, right? That's why you lost the football game. CJ Stroud played well enough to win in this game, and I'll even go as far as to say is that I think he played well. And so I was making my notes here, and I had two columns, good, and I had bad. And let's start with good. The guy dropped dimes. The guy had some big-time throws down the field in this game, had his team in position to score routinely over and over and over again. I thought he made good decisions with the football. He was willing to test tight windows. He was willing to give his really talented receivers chances to make plays on the ball when they were leveraged in man coverage. I was really satisfied with the throws that CJ Stroud made in this game. They were winning throws. Now, I thought Michigan did a really good job with their scheme of taking away some of those manufactured quick throws that Ohio State likes to tap into, really kind of some creative stuff with how they
bracketed, they do the double twins, and they kind of bracketed them and was kind of willing to buzz that defensive end out there to kind of take away some of those slant flat combinations that you know that they like to run. I thought Michigan had a really good scheme to take away some of that manufactured stuff, but I thought C.J. Stroud really rose to the occasion when he had opportunities to work the football into the second and third level of the field. I thought he played well. Now, when I think about what went wrong for C.J. Stroud against the Michigan Wolverines, is I think you still kind of saw the three biggest concerns that I had with him when I studied him over the summer, and that's the tendency to kind of drift in the pocket and fade, right? There's too much backwards in C.J. Stroud when he's working in the pocket. He's still toesy, right? Like, that's just who he is. You don't expect that from a quarterback that doesn't have height issues, but he is toesy in the pocket, which affects, I think, a lot of things that happen with his sequencing. You know, he doesn't get all his cleats in the ground. He kind of has to be very deliberate with how he gets himself aligned, and it takes something away from consistency with ball placement and even velocity. And there's still that reluctancy to run. And we have to accept that C.J. Stroud is just not a dual threat quarterback, right? That can't exist in the scouting report on C.J. Stroud. He's not a dual threat quarterback. He doesn't run. He doesn't weaponize his legs. He hasn't done it for 2 years. It's not going to start happening. All right, so that's the stuff that, like, all right, let's just be honest about, at least from a scouting perspective, the stuff that you didn't like, all right? That stuff. But goodness gracious, those three drops that Ohio State had, one from Marvin Harrison, one from Cade Stover, one from Double E, name's tough for me to pronounce, whatever his name is.
Abuka.
Abuka, that guy. Those were killer drops. And it took points off the board. Two of them did. Now, look, that's part of the game, right? But, like, those were critical moments where they took points off the board due to drops. But I look at what people are probably going to talk about with the two interceptions late in the game. The game was out of hand because Michigan had those explosive plays. The first one, the flip pass, third and 10. It's a 38-23 ball game with 4.5 minutes left in the game. Nobody's open. There's nobody open. C.J. Stroud tries to step forward and flip the ball, and it didn't get to his target. It went to a Michigan defender. He didn't have anyone open. He tried to make a play down two scores with under 5 minutes left in the game. Then you have a situation where it's the seam shot. It's a 45-23 game. Third and 9, the seam shot to Stover, which was a great throw. He dropped it in between three defenders. Hit off the hands of Stover and into the hands of a Michigan defender. The two interceptions came when they're down multiple scores with under 4.5 minutes left in the ball game. You can't sit there and say, well, C.J. Stroud turned the ball over twice and they didn't beat Michigan. No, he had to try to do something because the game was out of hand because his defense sucked. So when I watch this game and C.J. Stroud is taking the fall for not being able to beat Michigan, man, I think the list of things that didn't go right for Ohio State is so long before I sit there and say, you know what, C.J. Stroud was a primary reason why they lost to the Wolverines. I thought C.J. Stroud played well. I really do.
You should know better than to expect nuance to come in conversations like this.
But I feel like that's where the conversation is right now.
Of course it is.
It's down on C.J. Stroud. What? Did he give up explosive plays on defense? Did he drop passes? I don't know. I really didn't take much exception with C.J. Stroud. I thought he played well enough to win.
Ohio State's issues for the last couple years have always been rooted in vanilla defensive scheme that doesn't really evolve a whole lot. They've been down on defensive talent the last couple years.
Especially in the back end.
Right. So that's your explosive plays in the passing game that Michigan cashed in on to keep themselves in the game when Ohio State had a chance to wrestle it away.
Yep.
And then once it became a net neutral game, you gave up 200 rushing yards in the second half. And I understand a lot of that was on one run by Donovan Edwards, but, like, hello, you gave up 200 rushing yards in the second half of the football game. That's why you lost.
Right.
Because Michigan punched you in the mouth.
So I think the big thing here is we've tried to kind of come out. The regular season's over, guys. For the big quarterbacks, I don't know that there's a whole lot of new information coming, right?
Can I interject there?
Sure.
I'm glad you said that. What is a C.J. Stroud or a Bryce Young going to show you in a bowl game or a conference championship game or the college football playoff that's going to dramatically change what your, yeah, I just need to see him play one more big game. No, you don't. They're film, their
years.
Film at this point.
2 years. Yeah.
You've got all the information that you're going to get. You're not, and it, if you do have one game at the very end of the road that dramatically changes your opinion, well, I challenge you to evaluate your decision-making process and how you come to that conclusion. Because that we see recency bias with quarterbacks every year.
Mitch Trubisky over Stanford in the Sun Bowl?
Right. There's plenty of examples of a quarterback who balls out in a bowl game and gets momentum.
Right. I got to be honest with you. There's a good chance that outside of the college football playoffs, I won't watch a single bowl game live.
I did that last year.
Same thing.
It was very freeing. It was very freeing.
Like, what am I doing here? It's better for me to use this time actually writing reports and going back and watching game tape and investing my time there as opposed to watching Arizona State play against Nevada in the Cheez-Its Bowl.
Well, Chris is bad.
First of all, ASU wasn't good enough to play the Cheez-It Bowl. Second of all, don't you slander my team like that.
There's two Cheez-It Bowls now. Have you seen this?
There are two Cheez-It Bowls now.
Get them all. Are Cheez-Its even good? Do you guys like Cheez-Its?
My daughter loves Cheez-Its.
Goldfish greater than sign Cheez-Its.
I would agree.
You know what? I'm super down on Cheez-Its because of the commercials. The talking wheel of cheese, I want to punch in the face.
Wow.
Wow, that's strong.
Doesn't even have a face.
Maybe that's the problem. All right, CJ Stroud, there's my rant.
No, I think it's good perspective, and I agree with you with bowl games in general. Wait 3 days until the All-22 comes in and watch the game for the players who played in the bowl game with the All-22 and evaluate it that way instead of dropping 4 hours on a random weekday to watch the Bahamas Bowl.
Right.
And have Fansville Dr. Pepper and Cheez-Its commercials take 40 minutes of your life. And it's just not a very efficient experience for investing your time. Chris, go ahead.
Don't slander the Bahamas Bowl like that. They didn't do anything wrong, okay?
I'm just mad we didn't get invited.
Well, maybe we get a Draft Dudes Bowl, you know? We shouldn't slander the process if we get a bowl named after the show. You know what I'm saying?
I would like to extend an invitation to James Madison to play in the Draft Dudes Bowl.
Right.
You know what? This should be a thing. We should do this. I don't know how we pull it off, but we should try this.
NCAA 14, Chris.
Well, do we have a unanimous selection for our first team that we're going to invite?
Well, it's James Madison for sure.
Well, yeah. Well, the thing is we can't pick teams that are already going to other bowl games, right?
Right. So you have to pick, like, I think it would be the third in line 5-7 team would be who you would have to pick. Because I think 2 5-7 teams are playing in bowl games.
Well, first of all, we could do whatever we want. It's our bowl game.
Yeah, but we also can't pull from other bowls that already exist.
Well, that's why James Madison's the perfect selection. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're not going to get invited anyplace else. So they're in. Yeah. So we have to figure out who they're going to play.
Okay. So we'll let that marinate?
Yeah.
And then we should do custom rosters and do it, Chris, on Twitch with NCAA 14.
We'll work on it.
Yeah, okay. Great. Outstanding. I want to talk about Chase Brown, running back from Illinois. This is, let me make sure. Chris, can you do me a favor, Chris? I'm going to tap into your expertise here. Can you Google the FBS rushing leaders for the season so I can speak intelligently on where Chase Brown falls in these? I believe he's leading the FBS in rushing yards.
Let me work on it while you
but
talk.
But that may be factual. So Chase Brown, former track star, has a twin brother at Illinois, Sidney Brown, safety, who I liken to like discount Antoine Winfield Jr., kind of from a stature perspective, versatility perspective, speed perspective, like really likable player. Yes, Chris.
Chase Brown, number 2 in FBS in rushing yards at 1,643. He leads all Power 5 backs. The only person in front of him, Dwayne McBride, UAB running back.
So the Power 5 leader in rushing yards, listed at approximately 5'10", 200, 205. Really, really fun player to watch. Has totally changed the narrative about who he is this year as a player. You know, those 200-pound backs who aren't necessarily built super dense, you always have questions about how big of a workload, like are they genuinely engineered to handle? And Brown has been one of the most high-volume ball carriers with Brett Bielema this season, and he's done very well and got banged up at the end of the year, and it looked a lot scarier than what it was. But I watched Chase Brown play, and I ended up grading him out as a 78. Okay, I think that's important for me to note at the top, because that's a third-round valuation in our process. The games I watched were Indiana, Virginia, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Michigan. Games from this year. I watched five games. And I graded him as a third-round player, but I really struggled with the valuation portion of Chase Brown, because you see his build, you see the way he runs, you see the metrics that illustrate that he has a very high volume of yards after contact. But when you watch him run, he's not churning tough yards. He's a little bit more of a wide slash outside zone, speed to the perimeter type player. Now, he has had success popping big runs. He popped a big run against Wisconsin between the tackles. But if you get anything on his frame, like I wouldn't suggest he has really good contact balance, but people will look at his numbers and they will look at yards after contact and they'll say, oh, well, that's a strength of his game. I think it's a little skewed towards the home runs that he hits where he is able to break contact, but I didn't see it consistently game in and game out, especially in high volume areas between tackles. So what I wanted to just talk about, Joe, was having you kind of chime in and contextualizing numbers like that, like yards after contact for players and any players that have come to your mind or do come to your mind in the past for you that maybe were home run hitters but didn't have the consistency in churning the pile and leg drive and earning hard yards and willingness to stick his foot in the ground and get north and earn 6 yards instead of trying to bounce outside and get 10. No, I comped him to Raheem Mostert, who's a track guy and played at Purdue and bounced around a little bit, found success with the 49ers in a very specific kind of scheme and has been successful this year in Miami. But he's that kind of runner for me. And I hope that paints the appropriate picture for the speed to the perimeter. But then like when you try and run him in traffic, despite the fact of what the numbers say, I think the film tells you something different. And because of that, it was just like, I ended up higher on him than what I was in the summer, but it was more based off the proving himself in a workload from a passing game and a running game perspective versus changing who he is as a player, even though his production is dramatically different.
What's up with the fumbles? He's got 5 fumbles this year. I mean, I know it's 329 carries, but 5 of them seems like a fair amount.
It's it made the punch list.
Yeah.
For items of note. I mean, he's just, if you look at his build too in general, like he's not a densely built dude. He's well proportioned, but he's almost like, this is not a comp for style of play or anything. You remember seeing Wayne Gallman at the combine? Mm-hmm. And Gallman was like 210, and you're like, where has he got 210 pounds?
Right.
Right? Like, I see Chase Brown listed at 200, 205, and I'm like, he looks lighter than that. And he carries his weight extremely well, but he's just not, you think about some of these running backs that are super dense and built low to the ground, and carry a lot of muscle mass, and a lot of it's in the core and in the trunk and in the hips and the waist, and he's not built like that. So in general, I think him taking contact is an area for him that I don't think will be a strength of his at the pro level, even though I think he's going to be a good player.
Body type-wise, he sounds like James Cook.
I think he's a little better off than James Cook, but that's the right kind of picture to paint.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's got 10 pounds on James, but the same, like, okay, 5'10", 5'11", around 200 pounds.
Yep.
James averaged 4 yards after contact per rush in 2021 at Georgia. Smaller volume of carries, obviously, but that's not his game. You look at that and say he's got great contact balance. No, not at all.
I'm glad we had another name. That was my number one thing I hope we would accomplish in this is invoking another name, because I think it's always helpful to bring historical examples or recent examples of kind of this conflict between the numbers will tell you he's top 5 in the country in yards after contact, but I'm watching the tape telling you I don't think he's especially good in taking on and absorbing and exceeding after contact.
What's the receiving skill set like? I think it's just disproportionate.
It's pretty good. They use him in the they hit a big play. Which game was it? They hit a big play up the seam. They ran him on the rail and went up over top. They use him in the screen game. He's got a really good appetite for pass protection as far as like passing downs in general. But again, he's not really built to thrive there. So he's got a good appetite for it. He takes his scan protections and diagnoses really well. But with that frame, if you're taking on a second level free runner who's coming through the B gap or the A gap, you've got to really challenge them at first contact to offset that. And I think there's times where his quarterback got a little crowded because, you know, he takes that contact on eagerly, but he just doesn't have the raw anchor that like a 225, 230 pound back would.
Tier maker time?
Good player.
You think a top 10 back in the class?
Yeah, I gave him a 78. I'd be very surprised. I mean, he might be a top six.
Yeah.
I mean, not to do the thing. I don't want to do the thing.
Do the thing? Let's do the thing.
No. We're not ready to do the thing here, right? Like that's
Bijan, Jahmyr, just off the top of my head, guys that I'm comfortable will be in front of him. Bijan, Jahmyr. Tucker will probably be ahead of him for me, even though I think Chase, in the right situation, could be a more productive ball carrier.
I don't know where you're at on Zach Evans.
I know he's got great tools. I've not seen much of him this year.
Yeah.
And then Kendre Miller.
You're darn right.
I need to see more of him. I just haven't seen enough to speak intelligently on his game, but I've seen enough to know that he's silky smooth. He makes big plays. He's been productive. Like, I've seen enough to know he's going to be in that conversation.
There's another Zach that we're missing.
Charbonnet, Corum.
Devon Achane, what are you doing with him?
I don't know. No. Corum's going to be a weird one because he's a really likable player, but he's got the Isaiah Spiller athleticism profile going for him, right?
A smaller
Isaiah Spiller. Now, probably without the fumbles, right?
Right.
So that's good. I'm good.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Look, I think we all wish that life would come with a user manual to help us through all of the ups and downs, but unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. So when it's not working for you, it is normal to feel stuck. It's normal to feel like things are out of sorts. Navigating any of life's challenges, whether that is a career change, a new relationship, becoming a parent, all of the stresses of life, it can make you feel unsure. Well, therapists are trained to help you figure out the cause of all of those challenging emotions and help you learn productive coping skills, which makes therapy the closest thing to a guided tour of that complex engine called you and your brain. As the world's largest therapy service, BetterHelp has matched 3 million people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists available 100% online. Plus, it's affordable. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to match with the therapist. If things aren't clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist at any time. It couldn't be any simpler. No waiting rooms, no traffic, no endless searching for the right therapist. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/draftdudes. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/draftdudes. Tier maker, Wednesday. And this tier maker is because rumors have started to come out of nowhere of potential landing spots for Sean Payton as a head coach. So we decided, you know what? Let's open the floodgates. All 32 teams are on the table. We're going to do the thing. Which teams should be willing to move the draft capital that it would take in order to get Sean Payton as their next head coach? There are four buckets that we put these players in. The should absolutely do it, the should consider it, the not ready to make that kind of move, and the no chance. Now, I'll tell you this. Those last two buckets are very similar. There's not a big difference between those. And I'm going to steal Joe's point ahead of time. If a team doesn't have a first-round pick, they're immediately in one of those two buckets because they cannot be in this conversation. So there you have it. So how do we want to do this? How do we want to go through the teams?
Tell us the bucket.
Right, but... Okay, but I need like an alphabetical order up or something here.
Why don't we
pull up NFL standings and then just start going?
Right. Okay. You can do this, Chris. I believe in you, man.
Just give me a second here. I wasn't really prepared to immediately go here. They're going to mute the NFL.com tab because it's very loud. They play Chris. All the time. Just give me a second, okay? Relax.
Chris.
It's easy. Just relax.
It's like the 100th time we've done a concept like this.
Okay.
Let me filibuster for Chris.
I'm ready, so you don't need to filibuster.
Oh, now you're ready. Great. I genuinely struggle with identifying teams that I think should. What are we defining the necessary draft capital as?
It's at least a one.
At least a one. Okay.
I put three teams in the absolutely do it bucket.
Ooh,
three.
I got way more than that.
Three. I got more in the should consider it bucket, but I have three. Ooh, in the absolute.
That's my smallest bucket.
I
have two.
But again, this is where Joe just the elite of the elite. He just jams as many teams as he can in the top tier. We do this every
what
week.
What are you talking? I have six in the top tier.
That's
six.
It's three. Too
I have
many.
A very very strong ideological issues with this, but we'll talk
my,
about
no,
it.
No, my thought process was impacted heavily by your comments, Kyle. About, I think we were talking about this for some team, and you're like, do you think that what was like the Chargers or something like that? It's like, do you think that whoever they're going to get the 23rd pick will have a bigger impact than if they were to have Sean Payton? And so I did that for a lot of these guys.
Sure. Yes. And then you have too many teams in this should absolutely do it bucket, but we'll get there when we get there.
Let's go.
We're going in reverse order, as courtesy of the NFL.com standing. So the Houston Texans.
I have not ready.
Not ready is where I have them as well.
I also have the Houston Texans in the not ready bucket. They need all the draft capital that they can get.
Right. Well, and their first round pick. Well, they got the other first round
They have
pick.
Two, but yeah, we're going to need one. Both. We need
yeah,
both.
We need both. We need players. We need players.
The Chicago Bears.
I put not ready.
Not
I
ready.
I put no chance. They're not going to consider making a
coaching change. This isn't predictive. This is not predictive. This is whether or not we think they should.
Yeah, no chance. I feel comfortable with what I did there. The Rams.
Well,
no chance.
Joe, based on your methodology, you put them in no chance because they don't have a first-round pick.
Yeah, no chance. Sorry, that's the long list, so there's a lot of teams in there for me to look at.
The Denver Broncos.
Listen.
No, Joe, they don't have a first-round pick.
You're right, they don't. But.
But.
What did Jamie Eisner put in Discord? Russell Wilson for Drew Brees, who says, or Russell Wilson for Sean Payton, who says no?
The Saints say no. The Saints say no.
Are you
thank
sure?
you.
With
you
that contract, that absolutely.
You got to figure something out there, right? You got to finesse
can't
it a
figure
little bit.
We can't figure out the You've salary cap on a bed. Yearly basis as it is. We're going to add that kind of money to the mix.
You've made your bed. Enjoy lying in it. The salary cap's not real.
Well, the Saints aren't going to absorb all the dead cap. The Broncos got to deal with it no matter what. You might as well get a coach.
No chance.
No
chance. They don't
have
a first-round pick, Joe.
I know, but I came up with another way to do it.
And it's a bad way.
Well, it's at least worth talking about.
No, I give him credit for being creative. But it's no chance in my mind.
The Saints, no chance. Not coming back there.
No, I put absolutely they should do it. They should just have him be their coach again.
That's fair.
Keep your first-round pick and get Sean Payton back. That would be helpful.
The Green Bay Packers.
I put not ready. No,
no chance. No chance.
No chance. They've got a good coach.
The Carolina Panthers.
I put not ready.
I put not ready. We're not there yet. We need that first round pick. We need a good quarterback. The Arizona Cardinals.
Absolutely should do it.
Should absolutely do it. They are one of my three teams. No question. There's not a pick they could make under the Steve Keim regime that's going to be better than having Sean Payton as their head coach.
I don't think Sean would go there.
It's one of the two teams that have been rumored. Now, I agree with you guys, but.
If he does, Keim's getting the boot, right? And Sean's just going to do player personnel as well. He's gonna get the Bill Belichick treatment and just be the guy.
I would assume that would be the case. Now, the best thing you can do if you're the Arizona Cardinals is get a head coach that can fix whatever's going on with your quarterback. And Sean Payton feels like that guy, but I don't think he goes there. But
I put them in should consider.
It's fair,
but they still need some talent too.
Yeah, but right? We got to fix it. We have the quarterback. At least we think we do. We got to do it right by him. And by we, I mean everybody else. I'm out on Kyler. But all right, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
No chance.
No chance.
The Las Vegas Raiders. They should consider
not ready.
No, they should consider it. Get rid of that first.
Chris,
get it out of here.
They have no talent in the trenches aside of Max Crosby, Dylan Parham, and Colton Miller. That's it.
You're telling me
you've got starters on the line of scrimmage. You've got three.
We keep Carr. We bring Josh Jacobs back. I got Carr, Adams, Waller, Jacobs, Sean Payton coaching them up. I'm going to score 48 points a game. I don't need a defense.
This is where I was alluding to. I had some ideological discrepancies here. They are not ready in my mind to make this kind of move.
The Jaguars.
No chance.
No chance.
The Lions should absolutely consider it. We have two first-round picks. We can move one of them. We still have another one. We have all this talent on offense. We should absolutely do it. Sean Payton should absolutely be our next head coach if he wants to come to Detroit.
No.
We have an extra first. We are a team that is primed for this.
The best thing about the Lions right now is Ben Johnson, their offensive coordinator.
We could keep Ben. We don't have to get rid of Ben.
That makes Sean Payton a little redundant.
I had them in not ready.
Yeah, not ready.
The Cleveland Browns.
Well, they don't have a first round pick.
No chance. Yep.
The Colts.
Absolutely do it.
They should consider it is where I have them. We got a lot needs, which is my problem.
Consider it. I think there's a lot of different ways that you can, unless you're going to have absolute blind faith that all the young players that you brought in that were day two picks in the last 2 years to fill your critical needs are going to end up being the guys to fill those spots. Should consider.
The Atlanta Falcons.
Not ready.
Not ready.
That's right. I have them not ready. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Absolutely do it.
They should consider it. We might need that first round pick to get a quarterback. It's my only concern.
What quarterback are you excited about at pick 24?
They're picking 24 right now. Just give them a couple weeks.
They're going to win the division, guys. They're going to win it. And they might win a playoff game. You think Commanders are going to come to Tampa or the Giants or something like that?
I almost watched the Commanders beat the Bucs the year the Bucs won the Super Bowl. So don't start that with me.
Okay.
I've Tampa the should consider.
That's where I have them as well, Kyle. Very good. Thank you. Appreciate it. Great minds think alike. The Seattle Seahawks.
No chance.
No chance.
The New England Patriots.
Should consider.
No chance.
Joseph. Should consider.
Bill Belichick's 70 years old, guys. He's 70.
Right, but Bill the GM has to decide to give up the first round pick to get Sean the head coach. You can see the ideological problem we have there.
Wow, talk about setting up your team when you get out of there.
Right, because Bill doesn't have an ego at all. Not at all.
I think there's no chance that it happens or that it would happen because Bill has control of football operations. But Joe, I don't necessarily disagree with your thought process. I just think Bill is too big of a roadblock, and I don't know that Robert Kraft is going to bounce him unless they fall apart down the stretch.
That'd be great for the Patriots.
I agree with you. They're just ideologically, it can't happen.
Okay. Well, I'm telling you whether or not I think they should do it or not.
The Los Angeles Chargers should absolutely do it.
Yeah, this is absolutely the team. Out of all of the teams that we have, this is absolutely the team that should be ready to push send, in my mind.
Send.
You have talent. It's not as though, we got two needs at critical spots or an expiring contract here for a player that plays a premium. Nah. You guys got a lot of talent.
Right.
And you have continued to float right along the 500 line in spite of that. And then you think about this Lombardi offense and what it asks of Justin Herbert versus what Justin Herbert is capable of doing. And I get Sean Payton with Drew Brees was a lot of timing and quick stuff and taking free access and finding completions. But you don't think Sean Payton wouldn't based on how giddy he was to get Taysom freaking Hill out there to play quarterback at times, wouldn't mind getting a guy with a cannon like Taysom Hill, who's an athlete like Taysom Hill and Justin Herbert, and have what you could do with Taysom Hill, not that I would recommend doing that to the degree in which you did it with Taysom Hill, and the passing ability of a top-tier NFL quarterback all in the same player? This was the team for me that was like, yes, you guys should do this.
I mean, we're over here mocking them tight ends and
right.
run stuffers, right, in the first round of
right.
defensive
nose tackles. Nose tackles and tight ends are the, right. the most popular mock picks right. for the Chargers.
We right. can get them one of those in the second round.
Yeah, I feel like day two we could check those boxes with Sean
right,
Payton.
Give
him
Mozzie Smith in the second round or Dalton Kincaid in the second round. And oh, Sean
over
Payton?
The moon. Over the cool. moon.
Yeah. I hope they don't do it. Stick with Staley.
The Commanders.
Not ready.
Should not
consider.
Ready.
No,
not ready.
The Tennessee Titans.
No chance.
No chance.
The 49ers.
No chance.
No chance.
No chance. The New York Jets.
No chance.
No chance.
Not ready.
Disrespectful to
my ball
coach.
Listen, I have a great deal of respect for what Robert Saleh has
clearly
put together
not
with
enough.
His defense this year and the growth that they've shown. But would you not agree that Robert Saleh to Sean Payton would be like an upgrade?
Yeah, but
hey,
there's
coach.
A culture that's being developed that I'm not going to like just throw to the wayside.
Okay, and that's fair. I mean, there's a whole separate subsection of this conversation about having an offensive-minded head coach versus a defensive-minded head coach. And, you know, Joe, we've talked about this before on the show as far as sustainability for your offense. And having a defensive-minded coach exposes you to additional attrition and turnover in your offensive staff. So I just took some variables like that into play, but Robert Saleh's like top five coach of the year candidate right now. Like, I want to be abundantly clear. I have a great deal of respect, but I wouldn't, in the same way that I wouldn't let a good player prevent me from drafting a great player, Robert Saleh's not like automatic no to Sean Payton for me. So that's why I put him in not ready as compared to no chance.
The New York Giants.
No chance.
No chance.
I want the same logic.
Right, yeah.
I want
Kyle,
the same
now
logic.
Now you're in a buzzsaw.
It's an
you
offensive. I'm not because it's an offensive-minded coach.
So you're going to say that you would rather have Brian Daboll than Sean Payton. That's the ideological statement that you want to make right now.
No, it's not. But at least you have sustainability. You don't have yourself susceptible to having teams come in and pluck all your offensive coaches and ruin everything you've established on the offensive side of the ball.
The Bengals.
Should consider it.
Should consider.
No chance. Come on now. They're potentially going to win the division. Guy's been to the Super Bowl. Come on. What are we doing here?
He's way better coach than Zach Taylor. That's why.
Imagine with
he would be a way better coach than Brian Daboll, right. But we couldn't get that going. So,
yeah, Chris, don't get mad just because I said not ready for the Jets. Like, what?
Well, your logic's not consistent. That's the problem I have with
it. I just gave you the explanation of an offensive-minded coach versus a defensive-minded coach.
Right, and then you just put an offensive-minded head coach in the should-consider-it bucket who went
to
the Super Bowl last year.
Right, because Zach Taylor's not a good head coach.
Do we know Brian Daboll's a good head coach? Do we know? It's been 11 games.
He's a first-year coach. They're a first-year coach. We have a large sample size on Zach Taylor.
The Baltimore Ravens.
No chance.
No chance.
No chance.
The Miami Dolphins.
Oh, but that was a special teams coach. I don't understand why you'd take a special teams coach and say that he shouldn't get a chance to be replaced, too, because they could take your offensive coordinator. And
the Miami Dolphins.
Right? Right?
No chance.
No chance.
No, I disagree with you. I just don't want to have the conversation.
With me?
Yeah, yes. Joe is on Team Chris here, and he just won't fight the fight. He won't
bury yourself. Like,
yeah, he
okay,
won't fight the
talking,
good fight
bud.
With me, but he's on my side here.
Yeah.
The Dallas Cowboys.
No chance.
No chance.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I have them in should consider it. Sorry, I made a late change to that. Yes, my apologies.
I have them in should consider.
Should consider it. The Buffalo Bills. No chance.
No chance.
No, absolutely do it, right? Defensive-minded head coach.
Right, defensive-minded head coach.
They just
we can
lost
get an
Brian Daboll.
You have to factor in the quality of the coach and what kind of
Sean
runway he has.
Sean McDermott cost him the win over the Chiefs in the
right,
playoffs.
Right, we
got to
make
coach, man.
We
got to
make
coach.
A change.
Bad coach. Wouldn't want him. Yeah, that the culture. Yeah. Who cares?
Hasn't been to a Super Bowl, right? Hasn't been, you know,
no.
been there for a long
Josh
time.
Josh Allen, say? No Super Bowl. Hadn't even won the conference championship.
I mean, imagine, you know, what Sean Payton would be. The Minnesota Vikings.
No chance.
No chance.
No chance.
But are we You're sure lying. He's not a better
first
coach
year,
than Kevin
first
O'Connell?
Year,
sure?
First
are we
year,
sure? I don't know for sure.
Offensive-minded coach instilling a culture, yes. I know this isn't hard, guys.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
No chance.
No chance.
No chance.
Well, he's won a Super Bowl, so we know for sure that he played in the Super Bowl, so he coached the Super Bowl, so he's definitely better than Sean Payton.
If Andy Reid retires, then yes, go do it. Trade 32 for Sean Payton.
I don't know why you're getting mad at us. It's your logic that's flawed. I don't, you know.
Because I'm being personally attacked about a logic in which I've explained the difference between the two, and it's just like, oh, no, he's a first-year head coach, so it doesn't matter. Like Chris wasn't ready to fire Robert Saleh in week 3.
It's true. It's true.
Again, I have no problem with where you put Saleh. It just was not consistent after that. That was my issue.
It was, and I explained the difference.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
No chance.
Yeah, no chance.
No chance for me as well. That was fun. I had a good time.
That's all 32.
That's all 32. Yes, that's all 32 teams.
Wait, did we do? Why do I feel like we missed the Steelers? Did we do the Steelers?
We did the Steelers early on in the process.
We did the Steelers. Yeah, because their record's bad.
Okay.
Them in no chance. Yes, we did the Titans.
How many absolutely teams did you guys have?
3.
6.
I landed 1. The Chargers.
I can appreciate that kind of elite tier. I can appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you can appreciate my methodology here.
We can be respectful. We don't have to just, you know, mock each other. We can be respectful about this. Now, the rest of your list, throw it in the trash can. But the fact that you only have one elite team, I can appreciate that.
So if I told you that I only had 6 teams combined in absolute and should consider.
I would applaud that.
And it was Chargers, absolutely, and then should consider was Arizona, Indianapolis, Tampa Bay, Cincinnati, and Dallas. And I put Arizona and Indianapolis in there begrudgingly. And this, for me, came down to, I think, college versus pro football. In college, what percentage of time would you say the more talented team wins?
Oh, probably 85%.
An overwhelming majority, right? Yeah. What percentage of time in the NFL do you think the more talented team wins?
I would say 55 to 65%.
Yeah.
A little bit more parity, right?
Yep. Yeah.
But what's the biggest difference maker for NFL teams?
Coaching.
You think so?
I do think so. Situational awareness.
Do you think coaching or elite talent is the biggest needle mover for NFL teams?
I'm watching the New York Giants without talent win 7 games. Coaching.
It's close.
I think it's a pretty reasonable debate, right?
Yeah, it's close. I could go either way.
I think if you're a middle tier college program, coaching moves the needle, but an elite player moves the needle more.
100%.
Right? 100%. Because it's just there's the overwhelming ability.
We've seen
So for an NFL team to have to invest in the coach, you have to have the talent already, in my mind. And I think there's very few landing spots that I could identify that say you have the established talent across the entirety of your roster that could justify taking a premium asset to go get a head coach like this.
So the teams that I had in the absolutely do it were Denver, which was a joke. Okay, Arizona, Indianapolis, the Chargers, the Saints, which was somewhat of a joke, in the Bucks. So I really had four. I had 4 teams.
If you counted the 2 jokes as a half a team, then you had 5.
Yeah. But I think for the teams that I went with, it's just like I feel like the Buccaneers coaching is their problem. The Chargers coach, we don't have to get into that. We know that. Arizona coaching is their problem. I know that they have talent issues too.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't believe
it's their
number one
problem.
Right.
It's not the only problem, but it's their number one problem.
You think coaching is their number one problem?
Number one problem.
Then why are we demonizing Steve Keim to the degree in which we are?
Because he sucks too.
Right. He's one A or one B.
More than one thing can be true. But if you believe that coaching is a bigger issue than the general manager of the team, didn't we do the whole thought exercise and like everybody on TDN staff said they'd rather keep Cliff than Steve Keim? When we asked you could only keep one, who would you pick?
It wasn't me. Yeah, it wasn't me. I picked Keim.
Were we like the only ones? Because I remember we talked about this on the pod and then we turn around and ask like the whole TDN staff and everyone's like, Keim's got to go. Like, right. I'm like, really? Like,
yeah. I think you and I were pretty in exclusive company there.
I mean, they both should go. Let's
Chris, how the turntables turn here with incongruent opinions.
What are you talking about? There's no incongruency. Cliff is the number one problem. Right, Cliff is the number one problem, but they both should go. Those two things aren't dependent of one another.
A lot of money committed to those guys over the
I didn't hand out the extensions in the offseason. Wasn't me.
That's right. Bidwell can afford to fly himself to the game every week, so.
I don't know that. I don't get the punchline there. I don't get it.
You didn't watch the Hard Knocks?
No. What's the deal there?
Bidwell's like a pilot, right?
Is he?
Correct.
He's got a pilot's license. He flew himself to the game in week one or in episode one of like this year's in-season Cardinals Hard Knocks. Like he flew himself to the game.
Okay, so he lives in Arizona, right? So he just goes to the home games. And then he flies himself to away games?
No, so he flew from the East Coast to a home game in Arizona.
He doesn't live there.
I think he was in Washington for something like that.
He's a rich dude. He just hangs out with rich people in different parts of the country.
Yeah, it's different
country.
Part. That's a different... I can't...
It's a different lifestyle, you know, Joe?
Like, I know how much a private charter is. And I know how much, like... I know how much regular... jet fuel costs, Chris. I've seen the ticket. I just flew to Miami and back in a day. I know how expensive the tickets are, and I know a lot of that's because of the jet prices. I can't, or the fuel prices. I can't imagine flying my own plane.
Couldn't be me.
Could not be me either. But that's going to do it for us today here on the show. Kyle Krabs, Joe Marino, Chris Schubert. We hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Let us know what your list looks like, which teams should consider trading assets for Sean Payton. Thanks to our friends over at BetOnline for their continued support of the show as well. Make it a great day. Talk with you all again tomorrow.
Thanks for being here for another episode of the Draft Dudes Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. While you are at it, help the dudes out by leaving a rating and review. Want more? Head over to www.thedraftnetwork.com. Or follow us at The Draft Network on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.